Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
الحمد لله عز وجل. You're watching tonight with Madani Channel Ala Hazrat Special. Now the topic that we're going to be discussing today is about spirituality. Spirituality is a very important part of our deen. Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, my spiritual guide Sayyiduna Siri Saqti rahmatullahi alayhi supplicated for me, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the knowledge of hadith and then make you a Sufi, and may he not make you a Sufi before granting you the knowledge of hadith. This is quoted in Ihya ul-Ulum. This was a spiritual the guide of Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Pir Murshid. His name was Siri Saqti. Alhamdulillah, I have the blessed blessing of being to the Mazar-e-Pak, mashallah, in Baghdad Sharif. Siri Saqti and Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi are together, mashallah. So spirituality is a very, very important part of our deen. You know, sometimes when you're offering your salah, and even in Ramadan as well, a lot of the time people complain, my spirituality is no good, I can't feel anything. I'm in the ijtima, I can't feel crying, I'm offering my salah, but I can't feel anything. It looks like I don't have no spirituality left. And this is what our topic is today, how to boost our spirituality. And then also, because our topic is about Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, we're going to be discussing about Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, how he went to his Pir Murshid, how he did bad, and how his Pir Murshid gave him Khilafat on the first day. Alhamdulillah, Azawajal, I've got Tawfiq bhai in the studio, mashallah, Azawajal. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mashallah, Tawfiq bhai, you okay?
Alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah.
How are you, Hafsab? You
Karam,
okay?
Alhamdulillah, Azawajal. I've got a cup of tea as well, and I've got a biscuit, so I'll be enjoying them while you'll be talking and teaching the viewers today, mashallah. And just to tell the viewers that we do have our one picture, one story. Uh-huh. That's a beautiful segment, and we'll see what story we're going to be learning. And these stories are from the Quran. So inshallah, Azawajal, you know, don't go anywhere, keep watching. Ji Tawfiq bhai, mashallah, Azawajal, the topic we're going to be doing today is spirituality, ruhaniyat. Please start off.
Hafsab, if you look at the great names in the Islamic field, if the viewers want to picture any individual, a Muslim leader, when I say Muslim leader, someone not just with a name, a Muslim name, and is a leader of a country, but someone who's done something extraordinary in the Islamic field.
Subhanallah.
Yeah? You know, if you look at the fields of hadith, tafsir, or if you look at the fiqh, any of the topic that you can look at,
where have they left a legacy behind?
Left a legacy behind in the Islamic field for the Muslim to come through in the future generations. One thing that you'll realize in their life, you mentioned spirituality and you mentioned boosting spirituality.
Yeah.
And one thing that you'll find in their life, they give their hands in the hand of another spiritual guide.
MashaAllah.
And this was a principle, a practice of great, great scholars.
SubhanAllah.
Even up to now, even this day and age, you can find any great scholars out there in different parts of the world, you know, Ahl Sunnah scholars, you'll find that they will have done a bay'at. They've given an oath or a pledge of allegiance to another sheikh.
You know, I mentioned about teacher. Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah. He was a great wali of his time as well. Yet to gain more blessings and spirituality, he chose Siri Saqti rahmatullah as his sheikh and guide.
SubhanAllah. And similarly, if you look at the life of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Azhar Khan rahmatullah, he was at the age of 21.
SubhanAllah.
So a lot of people have heard the story when he gave the first fatwa at the age of 13 years and 10 months, etc. You know, we talk about that, but at the age of 21, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Reza Khan Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, he traveled to a place called Marahra Sharif. This is a place in India, and he went with his father, Maulana Naqi Ali Khan Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. They went to that place in the court of Sayyid Shah Ali Rasul Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, a great personality, a spiritual leader of the time. They went to him and with this particular intention to do bay'at, to give his own hand in the hand of the Shaykh, to take the allegiance or to do bay'at, to become a murid of this great scholar, Sayyid Shah Ali Rasul. And Alhamdulillah, the Shaykh accepted Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Reza Khan, the 21-year-old individual, he accepted him as a disciple.
MashaAllah.
And on this occasion, it wasn't a normal procedure. You know, one like a Shaykh, a murid, a disciple comes to the court of a Shaykh and the Shaykh accepts him and that says, don't move forward. It wasn't that. There was something unique, something extraordinary that took place in that particular moment. This great spiritual leader, Sayyid Ali Rasul Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, he accepted Ala Hazrat as a murid, as a disciple, and then at the same time, he gave him the ijazat, the permission of all and the khilafat and the permissions of different spiritual orders as well.
MashaAllah.
Which means that he accepted him as a murid, also is giving him the permission that he can make other people murid as well.
SubhanAllah.
So he took the bayat in the Qadiriyya silsila.
Yeah?
But this ijazat that he's been given from his from the Shaykh is that he can make people bayat in different silasil as well.
Chishtiya, Sohrawardiya,
Naqshbandiya, etc. as well.
MashaAllah.
Now on this occasion, what happened that there was another person, you could say a khadim, a servant of that place, he went in the court of the Buzurg Sayyid Ali Rasul Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi and said that, Ya Sayyidi, this is not a normal practice of yours. When you give ijazat or when you make someone a khalifa of yours, of your spiritual order, you make them do a lot of spiritual work. You give them wazaif, you make them do mujahada, a lot of other activities. After a long period, you choose, you know, who to make your khalifa. But here, someone came to you on the first occasion.
You gave him everything.
You gave him everything. You know, what you had, you gave him. Yeah, this was shocking.
Allah.
So that, on this occasion, subhanAllah, what the reply Sayyid Ali Rasul Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali said is something that shows you the greatness of this great Imam, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. The Buzurg, the Shaykh says that when people come to me, they come with an unclean heart and unclean nafs.
SubhanAllah.
But when this individual came to me, he's come to me with a clean heart, with a clean nafs.
He's come to me as a complete person.
SubhanAllah, as a very a person who has a vast spiritual, you could say, boundary. You know, he has a compassion, he can grow.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah, someone's come with a clean heart to me, I'll give him everything. So he was there to do something extraordinary for
MashaAllah.
So I give him all the ijazat, you know, the permissions. Now, not just this. SubhanAllah, these words came from the lips of this great, great scholar. He says that on the day of judgment,
Allah.
He looks at towards the other audience who were present there as well.
SubhanAllah.
He says, on the day of judgment, if Allah asks me, O Ali Rasul, who did you bring? Or what did you bring?
What did you bring me?
And I will say that I have bought Imam Ahmad Reza Khan here.
Allahu Akbar.
SubhanAllah. You know, on that first occasion,
SubhanAllah.
You know, saying these words, that shows you the greatness of Imam Ahmad Reza Khan in the eyes of his own Shaykh.
You know, it's mentioned that Sayyidina Ali Rasul Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he says that Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Reza, he was a complete person. He only needed that link of spirituality. And I was the one that gave him that link. And he's a complete person. SubhanAllah.
You know, on this, whilst we're talking about the doing bayat and especially Ala Hazrat, you know, if you look at today, someone who's 21-year-old, what would he be doing?
Now, look chilling at out with boys and
as a youngster, as a 21-year-old, you're at the peak of your youth. You know, you can do whatever you want. You have so many things in front of you. you know, whatever field you want to go into, people have, you know, all sort of dreams. You know, some people are looking for a career in a particular field. Some people who are in the streets, in the wrong activities, they want to move forward in their own field, in the wrong activities as well. At the same time, there's shaitan and the nafs, throwing arrows and tricks all over you. Now, from all angles, shaitan is putting pressure on you at the, in your peak of your youth. You know, and that moment, you know, where, you know, you have so many materialistic things that are attracting you, tempting you to go away from the deen. And it was 21 years of age when Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, when he went to his sheikh, he didn't go there as a beginner. He was there as an advanced student.
MashaAllah.
And that shows you Allah, his upbringing.
Subhanallah.
That shows you in the early age, in the nurturing of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he stayed away from all the filth,
you know,
of the dunya.
Another thing that Tawfiq Bey, that you notice from the life of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ali, is that, you know, his father was a very, very pinnacle person. You know, he played a very big role in the tarbiyat. Now, if you can imagine that 21-year-old, and he took him to his Piro Murshid. Now, this tells us a lesson as well, that as parents, you know, we should take our children to these pious people to gain blessings as well, you know, to the Ulama-i Kiram, to sit with them. Now, if you don't take your children to these people, what are your children going to learn?
No, it's a bit sad to say this though, but we parents do take our children. But instead of towards the masjid, instead of taking them towards the scholars, we take them towards parks, we take them to... climbing the mountains, and, you know, we take them for sceneries, you know, to enjoy the day, and we call it family time.
Family time,
we call it family time.
Our kids need that as well. You know, don't give them all that pressure. Let them, you know, chill out as well. Islam doesn't forbid that, but at least, you know, take them to other places as well.
But here, you know, the key thing that we learn from this particular incident, as you mentioned, that the father is taking his own son, who has a very high place in Islamic field.
Subhanallah.
He's not a normal child. He's a scholar. He's a mufti of Islam. Yeah, he's taking him to a greater scholar.
MashaAllah. Yeah?
That shows, regardless of who you are, you know, what you gained in life, there's always a moon above you. Never think that I'm the best in my
arena.
You know, there's always people who are better than you. And there's a very beautiful principle for us to keep in mind. Never feel that, you know, I've done it. I've reached the heights of my career. Whichever field you're into. Yeah. Here, obviously, we're talking about Islamic studies here. So in Islamic field, you know, if you become a hafiz, you become an alim, you become a mufti, or you become one of the senior muftis, and you think, you know what? What I could reach in life, I've done it.
That's it, I've done.
But, you know, sometimes in your studies, in your sitting with scholars, you know, there's sometimes you're just sitting there, you're just pondering, a window opens. Window opens where you realize, you know what? I've done nothing yet. You know, there's so much more to learn.
We've got a prime example of Amir al-Sunnat in front of us. Yeah, from a very young age, Amir al-Sunnat, he says, I used to go to the scholars, sit with them, learn about the deen. Even now, he says, I learn every single day. So if you have that mentality that you want to learn, you will learn. It's like someone going with a full bowl of water. You know, you can't put any more inside it. So always go with an empty bowl so that you can have more. And
after you mentioned Amir al-Sunnat, one of the greatest individuals in our time.
Alhamdulillah.
The founder of Madani Channel, founder of Dawood Islami, Maulana Ilyas Qadi Sahib. You mentioned this great personality. If you look at his life, another name that you want to give to this personality in Urdu language would be Ashiq-e-Ala Hazrat.
Subhanallah.
This is not something hidden. It's very open to the world that this personality, Mawlana Ilyas Qadri, Damat Barakatul Aliyah, may Allah preserve him, give him long and healthy life.
Ameen.
He has a huge amount of love for Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi. And he, Mawlana Ilyas Qadri Sahib, says that in my life, I studied Ala Hazrat in very depth. Yeah, I studied his works. I sat with scholars. I found a lot about him. And to the level that he says, in my life, one particular individual who's left a legacy or who's had a massive role in my life with regards to saving my iman, saving my aqidah, that personality is Imam Ahmad Reza Khan.
Subhanallah.
Today our topic is spirituality. Spirituality, what is spirituality? Yeah, the real essence of spirituality is your aqidah.
Beshuk.
Your belief.
Subhanallah.
Yeah, if someone doesn't have the right beliefs, yeah, if someone has corrupt beliefs, who has no boundaries in his belief, yeah, how can that be spirituality? Yeah, you know, one of the key things, the basics, the fundamental part of spirituality is aqeedah.
Aqeedah is the most important.
And alhamdulillah, what Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi has done, you know, for the ummah, for the Muslims, you know, we can see that today as well. Now, in the modern form, if you look at the teachings of Allah Hazrat, you know, outside the books.
Subhanallah, yeah? Subhanallah.
If you want to have a glimpse, or if you want to watch, if you want to see what Allah Hazrat did, you want to see the examples of the work or the fruit of teachings of Imam Ahmad Az-Zahan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, you will see that in Dawud Islam.
You know, one thing, Tawfiq, I just want to mention, you know, you mentioned about a legacy. Allah Hazrat, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, left a legacy for us. Amir Ahle Sunnat is making a legacy. You know, and inshallah, Azawajal, the amount of work that Amir Ahle, why we say Amir Ahle Sunnat is that he's done the work. You know, we never ever say that it's only Dawud Islami, only Amir Ahle Sunnat. MashaAllah, the ulama Ahle Sunnat have done a lot of work. Who has done the work that Amir Ahle Sunnat has done today?
SubhanAllah.
You know, it shows, doesn't it? There's no point saying, you know, okay, show us the proof. Dawud Islami is a proof that SubhanAllah, you know, 108 departments, more than 100 countries around the world, Dawud Islami is actively working, you know, and then alhamdulillah, so there's so many jamiat, so many thousands of scholars, you know, students. All this, yeah, is a legacy that he's going to be leaving behind, inshallah.
What is tasawwuf? This is a term that a lot of people hear. Let's learn about tasawwuf, let's learn about Sufis. But the question is, what is tasawwuf? You know, in a normal, you know, statement, public level, if you look at tasawwuf means to stay away from sins.
Subhanallah.
Spirituality is about acting upon the teachings of Islam, the rulings of Islam. Tasawwuf is refraining from sins. Tasawwuf is to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tasawwuf is to do those things that please Allah Almighty. Yeah, tasawwuf is about be taking care of the rights of Allah Almighty, huququllah. Tasawwuf is about being careful about the huququl ibad, the rights of people. The tasawwuf is to act upon Islam. Tasawwuf is to pray your five times namaz every single day. Tasawwuf is to take care about the faraiz, the farz, the obligatory actions and the necessary actions, faraiz or wajibat. Tasawwuf is to support the Muslims around the world.
Subhanallah.
And if you look at the life of Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, you can see how much passion he had to look after and care for the Muslims. Yeah, there's so many examples in his life. One of them, it is mentioned, there were two people who had a lot of love, who had a lot of connection with Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. They lived in a different area. One of their relatives, it was a lady, she became ill. And somehow they came to Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi and requested for dua. In fact, they insisted Allah Hazrat Imam Ahmad Az-Zahan Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi to come to their place.
SubhanAllah.
To come to that house and make dua there. And because, you know, sometimes when you have someone who's very close to you, it's hard to say no. Yeah. And similarly, Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, he agreed with them. He promised them, okay, you know what, I'll go. And SubhanAllah, he took this journey. At that time, people, they used to travel on trains. So they got to a train, and when they reached the other place, there was a lot of people who came to welcome. So smoothly they departed.
MashaAllah. Just imagine, you find out Allah Hazrat, the great Imam, is coming to that area. SubhanAllah. You can imagine now, you know, when you talk about Amir Ahle Sunnat, and you've been, MashaAllah, in that mahal for a long time now. You know, you've seen, I know from South Africa, when Amir Ahle Sunnat there, it looked like the whole of South Africa was there.
Oh, yeah.
So you just imagine where Allah Hazrat used to go, what used to happen then.
SubhanAllah.
Allahu Akbar.
So when they reached that train station, and then a lot of people welcomed them, they went smoothly, they went straight to that place. When they reached that place, that lady who was unwell, was in a critical stage. By the time they reached there, she was fine.
SubhanAllah.
She had recovered.
MashaAllah.
Yeah, everyone was shocked. Yeah, and someone said to them that it is possible that from the time that you sat on the train, she started getting better. And then the closer that you came to this venue, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has cured her.
MashaAllah.
Yeah? This was the yaqeen. This is the yaqeen that people had.
Yaqeen is very important.
Upon the spirituality, the karamat and the blessings of Allah Hazrat.
SubhanAllah.
Now, here, there's an important message that we also can take. This is part of the tasawwuf and spirituality. That sometimes someone's coming or presence in a particular place is a means of blessing.
Beshak, beshak. Yeah?
For example, in this day and age, you know, may that moment come, because come to Amani,
Inshallah.
Say that, may that moment come that Amir al-Sunnat Mawlana Ilyas Qadri arrives in the UK.
Allahu Akbar. Ameen.
This will be a huge thing,
beshak,
you know, for
beshak.
The Muslims, for the generations to come, especially on this land. You know, his blessed feet, if they touch this land, and if wherever he travels, whichever city he travels, for us, for generations to come, there will be historic and there will be so much blessings that we will take from that as well. Similarly, this is what the scholars did as well, what the people did at that time, that they loved Allah Hazrat, they admired his education and his skills. At the same time, they had a lot of yaqeen about his presence as well. You know, because my Allah Hazrat, because Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was on my way. So during his journey, because his tawajjuh was towards my house, due to his du'as and prayers, during the journey, Allah Ta'ala cured my family member.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah.
This is the maqam, this is the status of the great scholars. What I've just mentioned now, this is another aspect of spirituality.
MashaAllah.
This is something that, you know, you will find many examples in the life of Mawlana Ilyas Qadri Sahib. Yeah, Amir al-Sunnat, you'll find many examples in his life that something happens, he will try to take a lesson from it.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah. He will try to take a lesson so that he can better his life.
Beshak.
Regardless of who that individual is.
Beshak.
Yeah.
Amir al-Sunnat normally says, I learn a lot from children as well.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. The rule is that you have to have a learning mindset.
Mindset, ji.
It's not just limited to humans. You can learn from the nature as well.
Beshak.
You know, sometimes you're out, bright day, sunny day, that inspires you sometimes.
Beshak.
You know, it gives you a message sometimes. It gives you that point that you need, the boost you need. Sometimes the rainy season, that gives you a mindset to think as well. So if you have a thinking mode, you can always learn lessons. Sometimes on a windy day, you know, you see the tree. You know, it's moving both ways. Yeah, you're swaying both sides. But it's still there.
Yeah.
And that gives you a message as well. That regardless of how strong the wind is, you need to stay strong.
MashaAllah.
In dunya, in life, you know, you will have troubles, you'll have calamities, you know, things will push you to the corners, but remain strong.
Yeah, remain firm. The tree is saying, I'm not going.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere. Remain firm on deen.
MashaAllah.
Remain firm on namaz. And whatever happens, never miss your salah. Yeah? You know, people look for wazaif. Yeah, you know, give me a wazifa, give me a litany to read something that I can get rid of this particular problem. It's a different chapter. Now, this is something that is a practice of Muslims.
MashaAllah.
However, you know, if you look at the biggest wazifa for a man, especially for a man, I'll mention, one of the biggest wazifa for a man is to pray his salah 5 times with the jamaat. Yeah. Now, sometimes we look for solutions from other sides. Where we don't go to the main source. Our source is namaz, our salah.
Beshak.
You know, we leave our salah, we practice the wazayat.
And you know, sometimes, Tawfiq Bey, you know, you mentioned about, you know, Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, they traveled so far to, you know, choose his sheikh. Now, it's very important that we choose the right sheikh for yourself. Now, again, the Buzurgan Adeen Rahimahumullah, they have said that when you are ready to find a sheikh for yourself, make sure you open your eyes. Yeah, make sure you open your eyes and you look around and you choose the right sheikh. Once you know you've got the right sheikh, now close your eyes and start to follow him. What we do is, you know, we think spirituality is, ke peer sahab came to my house, did dhamm on me, I've got better. He came to my shop, he did dhamm on me, now I've got 5 branches. Hey, the peer sahab, he's the best one I've got. You know, so that doesn't really mean that could be spirituality. Spirituality is that your peer sahab will think of your akhirat first than the dunya. Love, you know, Allah. And that's what we need to understand.
What we look for is someone who's got the most likes, someone who's got the most subscribers, someone's more regular on TV, or they have a bigger crowd next to him. Those who have a high status in the dunya, you know, we look at them as a form of a measure, a scale to see, you know, if I should follow this person or not. That's not the scale.
You know, Imam, I was reading about Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, you know, but the hadiths he chose, you know, how careful he was. He went to someone, he traveled miles and miles and days just to go there and learn one hadith. And as he found out that the Sheikh's house, so he says that I'm here, that you know a hadith that I don't know. So I want to, you know, listen that hadith to you. So he goes, okay, come with me. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi started following him. And the person, he spat towards the Qibla direction. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi turned back and he goes, where are you going? He goes, you know, how can you teach me when you have no adab regarding the Qibla? So, you know, we need to look at ourselves. How can you choose someone as your guide when that person himself is, you know, is not guided himself? You know, so it's very important that what you choose for yourself.
Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi has written four conditions for a true spiritual guide. I can't remember all of them, if you can remember as well. One of them, the first one, is someone who has the correct Islamic beliefs.
Be sure.
Yeah. Someone who's a scholar and who has the correct Islamic beliefs. If you look at the world around us, you know, there are loads of people out there who want a bigger following.
You
know, they make people do better in their own orders. We can't generally say, you know, overall this is wrong. But the thing is, where there are so many good people out there, there are bad people as well.
Be sure.
And there's a very famous saying of Amir al-Sunnat. You know, I've heard Amir al-Sunnat saying this particular phrase many times. He says, I'm going to say in Urdu because they're the actual words. Agar jeene ki khaish hai, to pehchan paida kar.
Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah, I've heard this particular phrase leaving the lips of Amir al-Sunnat, Maulana Ilyas Qadri sahab, many times. And I always think, you know, what does that mean? Why is there so much emphasis on that? And now, you know, while more you research the wider world, you study people, you study different organizations, you study different aspects of deen and what's happening around you. You know, you understand the importance of that phrase. Agar jeene ki khwahish hai to pehchan paida kar. You know, if you want to live in peace and you want to live in the correct way, you need to have the vision of recognition.
Yeah,
you need to have a good recognition or a scanning procedure in you or filtering machine inside you to see what's right or what's wrong.
Bishak.
Yeah, and it's not easy. You know, there are so many people out there, you know, they will claim to be a peer, they will claim to be a spiritual guide, but you need to have a radar, you need to have a scale in front of you to see, does he meet these criteria?
Allah has just given us that scale, hasn't he? You see a lot of people shopping around looking for the best peer, but they don't even know what having a sheikh means.
Hafsab, Alhamdulillah, Dawood Islami is a worldwide network for the propagation of Quran and Sunnah. In this movement, you'll find people from all walks of life. You'll find people who have different spiritual orders. Their links are with the different shuyukh and the ulama of Ahl Sunnah.
Bishop.
And many of them people, when they come to Dawood Islami and they study Amir al-Sunnah and his lifestyle, his works, they say, from the moment we join Dawood Islami, that's the day we actually recognize the importance of our own sheikh as well.
Subhanallah.
Yeah, we only realize the value of my own peer sahab through Amir al-Sunnah.
Bishak.
Yeah, this is the attribute of great scholars.
Bishak.
Yeah, that, you know, by sitting in the company of these great people, we learn about the importance of your own shuyukh as well. At the same time, because we were talking about you could say the fake peers or the people who are looking for a bigger following, just wanted to mention a point regarding that as well. That, you know, if you, for whatever reason, you know, if you have been attached with a particular spiritual chain, but there's a strong evidence that that particular individual, he doesn't meet the criteria. Yeah, he's not a true scholar of Islam. Yeah, he's not studied Islamic studies, or he's not scholar, he doesn't have that knowledge of the basic Islamic principles. And at the same time, he's an open sinner. Yeah, you know, if you look at his physical posture or the things he does, you know, he's not punctual acting upon the teachings of Islam, be it namaz, be it the way he talks to the people, etc., or, you know, the faraiz and wajibat, etc. If you look at all the matters that he does, if you find like a regular pattern, this person, he doesn't have the basics. So if he's not meeting the criteria and you did bayat with them, then especially in this day and age, I'll also mention, if there's any individual who uses wrong words, Now, disrespectful words in the court of the great personalities and dignitaries of
like
Islam.
Sahaba-i-Kiram,
the Sahaba-i-Kiram, the Ahl-e-Bayt, the Awliya Allah. Now, he says wrong words in those courts, then it's important, you know, you turn away from that. You steer clear away from those individuals.
Because he's going to corrupt your beliefs.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned before, spirituality is having the correct belief. So if you, you know, you want to save your belief, then you have to stay with the same.
Sometimes with this blind following, what happens, even if that person is, you know, is clearly making big blunders, is making mistakes in front of you, going against the teachings of Islam, what happens, because you are bet with that person, because he's your peer sahab, just pick for the sake of being a murid, what happens, you just blind follow that individual. And to the level, some scholars say that, you know, people are so, you know, deeply involved in blind following, that if the sheikh jumps into the fire, he finds hellfire, they'll follow him as well. Or because my peers have come in there. You know, the thing is, you know, as a Muslim, you know, we have boundaries. Our boundaries are the Islamic rulings, Islamic principles, and the scholars have given us the guidance. There's nothing new that we are just, you know,
the famous waqia of Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi, when he had a guest in his house, he stayed for a couple of months, and as he was about to leave, Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi asked him that, look, when you came, I never asked you. You stayed with me for a couple of months. What is it that you saw in me? Now you're leaving me. Are you upset with me? He goes that, you know, I came, I heard a lot about you. Buniyan Karam Dasuniya Sajanab, I heard a lot about you, that you were such a great sheikh. And he goes, so what's happened? He goes, I've never seen you do any miracles. I've never seen you do any karamas. And Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi, the magical words are, that do not be fooled by someone who can fly on walk or water. Have you seen me go against the Shariat or the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he goes, this is the best miracle.
True scholars, they're so humble.
Subhanallah.
They're down to the earth. They never think I'm big. Especially when they're in the court of their own sheikh. They always stay down to earth. But some people who claim to be spiritual guides, they don't follow the boundaries of Islam. What happens? Their apparent is something else. The spiritual side is something else.
Yeah.
I'll give an example. You go to a particular person, you see him, this guy, the person, he claims to be a peer, but no, we don't see him reading namaz. Yeah, and you think, what a guy, he doesn't read namaz. So someone, you know, who has a bit of courage, and not, it's not easy for everyone to speak as well.
Yeah.
You know, them people are very difficult to speak to. Yeah, you know, you can do anything to that person. But anyway, someone had a courage, spoke to this person. You know, oh, Pinsab, you're not reading namaz. How come we don't see you reading namaz? What? Sometimes, because due to lack of knowledge, they don't understand the Islamic principles. You know, they go to the extent, they say certain words, they sometimes fall outside the teachings of Islam, outside the boundaries of Islam.
Yeah.
For example, this individual says that, and you'll find examples in our society as well, this person says that namaz and these ahkam, this is called Zahiri Shariat, the apparent rulings of Islam, they're for the people.
normal people.
They're for the normal people.
Astaghfirullah.
And we are the spiritual people.
We're above them.
So they're not for us. You guys carry on. Yeah. Maybe in reality he's doing it because he doesn't know how to pray namaz. Yeah, you know, if he were to open his secrets up, that will come out. He probably doesn't know how to read namaz. That's why he's not praying.
And a lot of things to feedback. You know, especially a few years back, I know that there was this cry in Pakistan, especially that, you know, there's this peer and people go to him. This is why, you know, the Ahl-e Sunnah, he gets a bad name because of these corrupt people. Now, ma'azallah, he did not even know how to recite Kalima-i Shahadat. You know, he was in the police station and they said to him, read the first kalima. And wallahi lazim, I watched that myself. He goes, la ilaha illallah, and that's it. He didn't even know what the next part of the... But why is it that all these people will go running towards them? And then another sign, you know, is that, you know, sometimes you see they've got five rings. They've got five rings on a galej har pya, you know, janab, peer sahaban. The thing is, we need to understand where we're doing. Why we, you know, these people will give that bad name to the Ahl-e Sunnah.
One of the key factor or teachings of the Tasawwuf is that your apparent and spiritual side should be clean.
Beshak.
A lot of times in our life, we spend a lot of time on the apparent cleanliness. upon the purity. For example, there's people who are, maybe they have bath every day. No, I'm talking about those nice people out there who do look after their, the spirit, the apparent side. So some people might have bath every single day or at least a few times a week. So they will wear nice clothing. They'll have perfume. They look after their body. They comb their beard regularly. We look after so much on the apparent side. We make sure, we don't let other people point fingers at us. Yeah, with regards to our character, regards to our behavior, etc. Yeah, we want people in our family to have a good, family members to have good feelings about us. We want our friend circle to always think good about me, etc. We spend a lot of time on the apparent beauty. However, our spiritual side gets disturbed. Many times, we don't focus on spiritual purity as well.
There is a poem to Tawfiq Bey about Baba Bulle Shah Rahmatullah Ali, where he mentions ke phulla da tu itr bana, itr da tu kat darya, darya vich tu lote, dive into the water, phir vi teri bo ni mukdi ja tu apni main na muka. Such beautiful words of this great wali. Like you said, we're spending a lot of time, physical appearance, I must smell nice, all that kind of stuff. But your inner self is so bad and dirty, you're not even worried about that.
Akbar. That reminds me of this incident which happened on a live program on Madani Channel. This is some years back. I don't know if you remember, Afisab, there was a live program about the early time of Dawat Islami. During that series, basically it was a Q&A with Amir al-Sunnat, and Amir al-Sunnat was asked, in the later part in this series, that Amir al-Sunnat, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala blessed you so much that your Dawat Islami has blossomed around the world. It's growing so fast. You can see the fruits, Alhamdulillah, in different parts, different corners of the world. And this is your great work that you've done. I'm sure you feel really proud of this, that Allah Ta'ala blessed you with so much favor. And on that moment, I was watching that program, and it really touched my heart that Amir al-Sunnat replied that, by Allah, I've not done anything.
Allah, and he started to cry.
He said, by Allah, I've not done anything. This is not me. Look, Allah, I'm being straight, I'm being clear, I'm being honest to you guys. That I've done nothing. This is not me. This is from Allah.
Subhanallah.
This is from Allah. I've done nothing. And this is so much work. 40 years now, since Dawat Islami was established. 40 years now, nearly 40 years. And if you look at the amount of effort, the work that Amir al-Sunnat done, the individual, as a person I'm talking about, even now, he's so busy, where we are just benefiting from the fruits of Dawat Islami. Amir al-Sunnat is still so busy working for the future generations.
See, this is one of the signs of the awliya-i-kiram. They will do a lot of work and they'll say, we haven't done anything.
And he further says, on that same occasion, that first he says that it's not me, it's from Allah. Whatever that you can see, it's mercy of Allah. And that's a lesson for us, that whatever you achieve in life, always turn to Allah. Always thank Allah Almighty for His blessings, for His favors. The more you thank Allah Almighty for the favors, the more Allah Almighty will increase those blessings.
MashaAllah.
What scholars tell us, that if your sheikh meets the criteria, he's a true Ahlul Sunnah scholar, who has a correct Islamic belief, is a scholar of Islam, he meets the rest of criteria as well, then even though you've not met that individual, you still have a spiritual connection.
Beshak.
Yeah? We live, for us, it's quite easy to understand that now. Because we live in the time where there's a lot of things happening that we don't see. For example, you're messaging someone from a totally different country. I'll give you today's example. There's a brother who is in Bulgaria. He's a revert brother.
MashaAllah.
He's from Bulgaria. He's a British individual, youngster. Lives in Wigan area near Bolton. And he's currently in Bulgaria. And he messaged me. And he messaged me reading, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
MashaAllah.
Someone who has love for knowledge, even if he's in a different country, you don't have direct communication with that person, they are still putting effort into learn namaz.
MashaAllah.
Yeah? This person, you know, when he learns namaz, basically, just recall that, I'll mention the little incident first. What happened some weeks back, he was on my case, saying, brother, I want to learn salah, can you please make time? And I was struggling to commit to something, you know, like on a regular basis.
Mm.
And I made it clear to him, look, I'm struggling to fix a particular time, but you're more than welcome. More than welcome, stay in touch. And what we decided, we'll keep an open plan. Yeah. So he contacts me on a social media platform. And what I do, I send him small words, the text and the voice of namaz, and break it down for him. For example, the ta'awuz, you know, I read to him, A'udhu billahi. Read it three times, just that little part of the phrase.
MashaAllah.
And he practiced that, came back, sent him the next phase. He learned that as well. Like this, he's learned ta'awuz and tasmiyah. And his pronunciation is beautiful as well.
MashaAllah.
The example that I wanted to give here was that someone who lives in a different country, we could talk to him anytime, as long as he's got connection there. But that connection, you know, we don't see that, do we?
No.
There's so many things that are happening in this air we don't see. They're invisible.
Yeah.
But they exist, they happen.
See, our program here has been relayed, you know, we can't see nothing, but yeah, it's being relayed around the world. Yeah.
So that this thing, you know, if we can believe in this, you know, then we need to understand the spirituality, the ruhaniyat, the tariqat has an even stronger connection.
MashaAllah.
No, your sheikh, the question was, you haven't met your sheikh, you haven't seen the sheikh, but if you have done bayat, he's accepted you as your as his disciple, and he's accepted you as a murid, then you are bayat to that
Subhanallah. Person. Saying of Ala Hazrat, where he mentions that all the blessings that you get are the wasila of your piro murshid. Allah. Now, if he's according to the shariat, then you can't go out and look for another piro murshid. What you have, alhamdulillah, many times Amir al-Sunnah, he's mentioned that, look, you know, if you got a piro murshid, is according to the four rules that Allah Hazrat mentioned, then stick to him. Again, some people think that because he's got no karamas, I've never heard anything about him. You know, sorry, I came across one person and he goes, Bu Sadin, very, very, you know, straightforward, doesn't even, he can't even do bayans. There's no condition that a peer has to do bayans. Some peer or murshid, mashallah, you know, khamosh tabligh, Amir al-Sunnah, he says that if he was not for Dawat-e-Islami, I would, you know, be known as someone who was, you know, who couldn't even speak. You know, but alhamdulillah, as we for Neki ki Dawat, he goes that I am speaking. You know, again, sometimes people think that, you know, how can I make my spirituality more better with my peer or murshid? And Amir al-Sunnah answers that and he goes, for that, you need to read the wazaifs that your Piro Murshid has given you. And there's so many people, mashallah, even Attaris, you know, our own Piro Murshid has given us so many wazaifs. Have we ever read them? You know, have we, you know, read these wazaifs, the Shajra Sharif that he has given us? If we don't read them, and then we say, I've got that problem, I've got this problem, my spirituality is very weak. Yeah. Nigrani Shura, in one of the tarbiyat for the Muballagheen, he goes that your Piro Murshid has given you a book of guidance, yeah? And, you know, try to follow that book because it's all according to Quran and Hadith. And if you don't follow that, you are going to get weaker in spirituality.
Look, this reminds me of a principle that if your teacher is the best at the time, you know, of that time or in that country, who you have been spending time to learn Islamic knowledge. So you take that as a great pride. My teacher, alhamdulillah, my teacher is the best. So I had a great chance and opportunity to sit, you know, next to his feet. The question is not that, how great your teacher is. The thing is, by being with that great teacher, how great did you become? Yeah? Similarly, if your sheikh, your peer sahab, has a great rank, you know, is a great individual, great personality. If you're connected with the sheikh, how has he improved you? How have you changed?
Gee.
Yeah, his tawajjuh, his focus towards all the murids, all the disciples is same. His love is same, you know, it's spread
like
around.
A father, you know, his love is same for all his children.
So his focus is same for all the disciples and audience. But the question is, what scholars mentioned, that particular murid who has more affection towards his sheikh, though he has more focus, the tawajjuh towards his sheikh, this particular murid, he climbs the ladder really fast.
You know, it's like There's this very famous waqi. I think it's about Mahmood and Ayaz, rahmatullah alayhi, where, you know, Mahmood, he's the king, isn't he? Mahmood Ghaznavi, rahmatullah alayhi. He's the king. So he's got these pearls in his hands and he's scattered them all over. And he says to his other ministers and everyone, go and pick as many as you want. And he looks back and Ayaz still there. And he goes, Ayaz, do you not want the pearls? He goes, no, I want the one who owns the pearls. So your pure murshid might sometimes put you into a test. Yeah, and now that is a test for you. Don't, you know, make sure that you pass that test. And that test could be like, you know, if I say my pure murshid, he's given us madani inamat. You know, we've got a pure kamil, you know, a complete pure sahab. When are we going to become murid-e kamil? And when are we going to become complete murids? And that is if you follow the sayings of your sheikh. Madani inamat, our sheikh sahab has given us, I don't act upon them. Madani qafila, I don't travel on them. Ijtima, I don't travel on them. And then we say, I want barakat of Amir Ahl Sunnat. How can you get barakat of Amir Ahl Sunnat when we don't even follow him? And and what does he want? You've been in the blessed court of Amir Ahl Sunnat. He never asks for money. Allah. He never asks you to, you know, account a paise bayure, put money in my account. No way. But all he does, he gives you money. But in return, as murid, when are we going to become murid-e kamil? And one of the ways is madani inamat. So I'm talking to all the attari and attariyas out there, including myself and all those who love Amir Ahl Sunnat. You know, mashallah, you might have your pir or murshid, but Amir Ahl Sunnat, mashallah, is the Amir of the Ahl Sunnat. So if you believe him, you love him, follow the madani inamat of Amir Ahl Sunnat. And inshallah, I guarantee you will get close to inshallah Amir Ahl Sunnat and you will gain the blessings of that as well.
As you mentioned madani inamat, madani inamat is basically spiritual purification or personal development.
Personal development.
Something that we always look out for, you know, what do? I want to achieve my life. I want to become a better person. I want to do something. I want a plan in front of me. And these action points, 72 of them, they have been designed in such a way, and recently it's been simplified further. I'm not sure if it's translated in English at the moment, but the Urdu version, and it's very, you know, it's like it's totally changed. It's a lot simplified.
It's on the app as well, though.
It's on the app as well. What you have to do, you don't have to act upon all 72 right now on this day. You know, that's a planner for you. You work towards your ease. Obviously, the faraiz and wajibat you will have to do. And that's something you can't have like a flexibility in them. If there's five namaz, you have to read five namaz. You can't say read four today or read three tomorrow.
You know, sorry, Tawfiq, but I heard the scholars even mention that if someone does say that, it's all right, start with one and then slowly move on. That is a sin as well, because you're making that guy, you know, to read one salah instead of five. If you're baligh and namaz is farz upon you, you have to offer five. There's no ifs or buts.
If someone's actually said those words, you know, it's okay to read one namaz for now, and then after a few months you can read one more. That is, you basically, you're going against...
His iman is in danger as well, saying that.
It's in danger. Yeah, because namaz is from one of the pillar of Islam, and he's not giving the importance to it. He's making it seem it's very light. Yeah, we can't do that, okay?
No.
I'll give an example of the new Muslim community. Now, there are people who become Muslims, and then those people who want to support them, they want to make it nice and easy for them, flexible for them. What they say, look, take it nice and easy. Yeah? Alhamdulillah, you've accepted Islam now. Now you can go home and then come back on Friday. Now start nice and steadily at your pace. So start coming on Fridays for a few months. And when you're ready, then come for another namaz. You know, like this, we can't say that. We have to make it clear to them that as a Muslim, we have to pray five times a day. Yeah, we have to pray five times a day. Make him aware, you know, just as a principle. We have a morning prayer, we have a day prayer, you know, late afternoon, we have a sunset prayer, we have a night prayer. If you want to give them the names, you can give the names to them as well. And then, you know, obviously that person won't be able to pray five times a day right from the beginning.
Subhanallah.
Yeah? And sometimes if you push him too much, you know, he might just turn away. Yeah. So from yourself, you shouldn't force anyone. Yeah. But make him aware of the principle. This is where you need to get to. Yeah. And, you know, try to pray. And if he lives close to a masjid, direct him towards your local masjid as well. Keep in touch with him. But we have no authority to choose our own, you know, boundaries. Now do this today and do that tomorrow. We can't do that. So we have to be very careful. Sometimes, you know, because we care about another individuals, you know, we make some statements that affect our own iman. You know, you went to do good to someone else, but you did bad to your own self. Now you have to do tawbah. The tawbah becomes farz on you. You have to do, you know, sometimes you have to do tajdeed e iman, renewing your own iman as well.
MashaAllah.
So we need to be very careful. In short, you know, whenever you're confused, you're not sure of something, you know, don't just make these such statements.
MashaAllah.
You know, ask scholars, ask some senior people around you, those you trust, the authentic sources, the scholars, the Sunni ulama, speak to them and then make those statements.
MashaAllah. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah, we're at the end of our first part of this program, which was the topic that we were discussing about spirituality. Inshallah, Azawajal, as they say, that whatever you like for yourself, you like for others as well. I chose Amir al-Sunnat as my spiritual guide. If you still are looking for a spiritual guide, a peer, a sheikh, then Alhamdulillah, Azawajal, I would ask you and urge you, look towards Amir al-Sunnat, study his life, look at his life, and inshallah, Azawajal, you'll find a complete spiritual guide and a complete sheikh. So inshallah, Azawajal, if you want to do bayt with Amir al-Sunnat, then alhamdulillah, there's many ways. If you can go onto the website of Dawat-e-Islami, dawatislami.net, become a murid. You can become a murid through the website as well. Or if you give your names to the Zimmedar Islami brothers, inshallah, they'll pass it on and you can become a murid of Amir al-Sunnat. And whoever becomes a murid of Amir al-Sunnat is in the Qadriya, Razaviya order, spiritual order. So alhamdulillah, Azawajal, your grand peer, mashallah, will be Huzur Sayyidi Ghawse Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I've got some messages. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam. I live in Uganda, East Africa. I learnt Ala Hazrat through Dawat-e-Islami. And through Ala Hazrat, I learnt truest love for Rasul, Sahaba, Ahle Bayt and Awliya. Through Ala Hazrat, I learnt the truest form of spirituality, the real Sunni creed and the strict adherence to Sharia. The best and most revered gift in my life is to know Ala Hazrat. The best affiliation I got in my youthful time is to know Bapa Jan.
Allah.
SubhanAllah. Ji Tawfiq bhai, just a few things about, because we mentioned about Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali's booklets. There are about 1,000+ booklets of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali that, you know, we know of. And like you mentioned, there's so many that we don't even know of. So many subjects that Ala Hazrat has written about that people don't even know the name. We can't even pronounce the names of the subjects that Ala Hazrat was a master in.
You know, we could spend our whole life in studying the works of Ala Hazrat. You know, our life will end. But his teachings, is the works that he's done, there will be a lot more depth where we could actually go further as well. That's how much is written. And to see one individual in his lifetime, the amount of work that he did, obviously this work was written, you know, in a physical form later on. But the answers that come from his tongue and the students who had a full-time job, you can say, you know, the way they worked, mashallah. And at one point moment when Ala Hazrat was giving the answers, at the same time, you know, he's giving an answer to a particular query. And then once that person is writing something, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala will give a different verdict or different sentence for that person to write. Whilst that person is busy writing that sentence, he'll tell another person to write what's important to that person, you know, on that particular book that they're writing. And the beauty of this is that when Allah Hazrat comes back to that same individual, he will carry on from where he left off from the last you know, break that he had from him. And this was the mind, the multitasking, you know, that Allah Ta'ala blessed Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala alayhi, that, you know, the work that he did, he had a photographic memory.
MashaAllah.
There's many examples of that. But here, I'm going to go back to our topic, spirituality. There was a time when people acted upon the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and those who are around you, they give you confidence.
SubhanAllah.
Said, you know, wow, well done, MashaAllah. That's really nice. Keep up the good work. But now, things have changed. Yeah. You know, when you even think, you know, you're just talking about it, yeah, you know, you want to become a namazi, you want to start praying salah, you want to go to masjid more frequently, or you want to act upon the sunnah, you want to start wearing the imamah, you want to have a beard on the face. You know, if you just start talking about these topics, there'll be people around you, you know, they're there to demotivate you.
Mashallah.
They put you down.
Jee.
Yeah, you know, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? What's happened to you? Come on, man. You can't do that. You need to be modern.
Jee.
You know, in the name of modernism, people, they Tabai. Leave their roots. They forget their own identity. Yeah. And, you know, one thing that we have to learn, you know, as a form of spirituality, ruhaniyat, is that we need to learn to, if you care for other people, generally for the individual, you need to learn how to do husla afzai. Appreciate them or give them confidence. Don't break them down. If some, look, we live in a time where people generally, if you say, they don't do good things.
Yeah? And if someone is doing them, let them do them.
If someone's doing good thing, yeah, let them do it. Yeah, you know, if you're not doing it, let him do it.
Help someone to do good and don't help someone when they're doing bad. You know, so if you got people who are doing good, then at least give them that hosla, sorry, that appreciation, that, you know, that support. And it's very important, you know, for the parents who are listening or even the children. If your children want to act upon the sunnah, don't, you know, break their heart by saying, you know, I've heard it many times, you know, Maulvi ban se, where are you going to eat from and all this kind of stuff. That's not true. How many Maulvis do you see begging on the streets? You know, how many Maulvis do you see doing wrong things? You know, you can't label one or two people who've done it. But then again, you know, Alhamdulillah, so this is the blessed path, the blessed knowledge of the Quran and Hadith. You know, Allah Ta'ala, you know, helps that person as well.
You know, regardless of where you are, you know, what age you're on, you know, we have to read namaz. Yeah? If you're healthy, if you're unwell, or if you're traveling, you know, we need to make sure we read namaz. And not just read namaz, where possible, read namaz with jama'at.
Ji.
Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi was that personality that even, they say the Urdu words are safar and hazar, which means the place of traveling or the place of residence. Yeah, wherever he was, he had extra focus towards the jama'at, even during the travels as well. Sometimes you're traveling, you're on a train. In modern times, you're on a plane or wherever you're going. And where namaz time started, you know, if you have more people around you, do namaz with jama'at. Yeah, you know, if the imam meets the criteria to become an imam, then you know, do the jama'at. And Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi will find in his life that he did jama'at. You know, wherever there's short breaks, you know, during the train journey,
come outside.
Do namaz, you know, and especially those who travel on a train. Alhamdulillah, I've had experience traveling on a train.
We went to Karachi to Multan twice.
For me, it was last year, this time, September, from Islamabad, I went to Karachi to Fizan Madina Karachi. Alhamdulillah. And that was a coach. I had a different experience last year with a coach. I went on a bus all the way.
Bus to Karachi?
It was a different experience. And in fact, whilst I'm talking about namaz, one reason I chose to go on a coach was that I heard that they give you more time to pray your namaz during the journey.
MashaAllah. Again, you know, Tawfiq Bey, you had it all planned out, didn't you?
Alhamdulillah.
Because namaz, and Amir al-Sunnat always, you know, guides us on this, that, you know, always plan your journey, but you look at all the namaz in between. You know, and the best time is at night.
For example, you know, here in UK, we don't have them type of journeys the way there are in different parts of the world. But let's say, for example, here, you know, if you're traveling from here to London, so if you have flexibility to choose when to travel, then choose that particular 4 or 6 hour gap where there's no prayer in the way.
Yeah?
Or where the prayer starts, you know, halfway of the journey, but you still have time to pray when you get to your destination as well.
SubhanAllah. You know, Amir al-Sunnah, he had the operation and he chose the time after Isha so that there is no namaz in between.
Allah.
You know, so again, for someone who is, you know, madly in love with Salah, you know, he'll make sure that thing comes first before anything else.
This reminds me of a great scholar. His name's not coming to my mind, but he's very close to Allah Hazrat.
Yeah.
He had an operation and when he became, obviously during the operation, he became unconscious. So when he regained his consciousness, so this was like, you could say, around Zohar namaz. When he gained consciousness, he couldn't talk. Yeah, you know, he opened his eyes, he looked around, and the people around him, they were his students, but them students were not normal students, they were senior scholars.
Yeah.
So around him, there were some senior scholars standing there, and at this moment of time, you know, he's opened his eyes, but it's still not normal yet. And he can't really move his hands and other, you know, body parts. But what he does to him, as from the first moment that he opened his eyes, he looks around and he somehow gestures towards them, that asking them, is it still namaz time?
MashaAllah.
Yeah, you know, someone had an operation for Allah, 4 or 5 hours. He opened his eyes. The first thing he's asking, yeah, is namaz time still there?
Allah, yeah. But I meant there's a...
Just hold on. Yeah. So what happens? One of the scholars, they say that no, it's now next namaz.
Allahu Akbar.
And as he says these words, that scholar, he started crying.
Allahu
Akbar. Started weeping. And now, because the scholars were sitting there as well, as a student, they said, you know, oh our teacher, why are you crying? It's not your fault. You've not missed it. You didn't miss namaz on purpose.
Bilkul.
You know, you were unconscious throughout the whole namaz time.
Jee.
Yeah, the namaz time, you weren't awake. Yeah? So you're not going to get sin.
You're not going to be accounted for
that. You won't
be
accounted for that.
Jee.
Today, you know, if there's any person who's watching this program, if you're lazy in salah, yeah, you're lazy in your prayer, you know, you don't even think about namaz time. Now forget one namaz time, you know, the whole day goes past, the whole week goes past, it doesn't even ring your mind, you don't even think about it, you don't even talk about it, oh, I need to read namaz, oh, hey, I've missed namaz. If you're that type of person, you know, it's a time for us to ponder, time for us to reflect, where are we heading? You know, we want spirituality, and we want to change our way of life, we want to better ourselves, but we are running away from salah.
Allah,
the best form of spirituality is salah.
Yeah,
you know, read namaz regularly, inshallah. You know, this is where the solutions to our problems, inshallah.
MashaAllah, Azawajal. Now, our next segment, MashaAllah, is a segment in which we see a picture on the screen and we tell you a story regarding that. So, our next segment, inshallah, one picture, one story. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right.
MashaAllah Azawajal, let's see which picture we have on the screen and which story we are going to be relaying today. Wow.
Subhanallah.
It's an elephant. I think why we got this picture was, we've got the story behind the elephant because there's a very beautiful story that has been mentioned in the Quran. And that is the story of the Ashabi Fil. Now this story was 55 days before our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born. Now, the story is that there used to be a king and his name was Abraha. Now, Abraha, he was the king of Yemen. So what he did was, he came to Makkah Park and he saw that people were doing the tawaf of the Kaaba and they were giving it so much love and respect. And obviously because of the Kaaba, a lot of people were traveling to that place and it was, you know, vibrant and there was a lot of, things happening there. So Abraha decided to build a Kaaba similar or a place of worship in his own place. So what he did was that he built a place of worship there. Now one of the caravans, Qafila, from Makkah went to Yemen. And they saw that, you know, Abraha was inviting people to come to do the tawaf or worship in his place. So what he did was he did peshab, you know, and Abraha got really angry. So what he did was he made a vow that I'm going to go and ma'azallah destroy the Kaaba that is in Makkah so that people will come and do tawaf or worship in my building. So what happened was Abraha, he took an army. Now this was the army of elephants and Allah Ta'ala mentions that inside the glorious Quran as well. Abraha, he traveled to Makkah. And as he got into Makkah, what he did was because he knew that the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, was the custodian of the Kaaba. He was the leader of the Quraysh in Makkah. So he stole his camels. I think there were about roughly 200 camels that he stole from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's grandfather. And then what happened was, he sent a messenger that go and tell him to come to me and talk to me. So our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's grandfather Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he went to see Abraha and he says to him that, why have you stolen my camels for? And Abraha, you know, he started laughing and he goes, you're worried about your camels, whereas I have come to Ma'azallah destroy the Kaaba. And Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that, oh Abraha, these camels belong to me, so therefore give me my camels back. Allah Azza wa Jal is the owner of the Kaaba. He will be the one who will be looking after his house. So he went back to Makkah and he told the people of Makkah that go into the mountains because Abraha is coming with an army and he's going to attack us. Can you read the verse of the translation of Surah Al-Fil?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O beloved, did you not see how your Lord dealt with the people of the elephant? Did he not put their trick into devastation and sent swarms of birds over them, striking them with the stones of baked clay? So he made them like the leftover consumed leaves of harvest.
Allahu Akbar. So Allah Ta'ala sent a flock of ababil, birds, and they each had a stone in their feet and in their beak, and they said they were flying over and they were dropping them. And it says that these stones were dropping on the people. Yeah. It was piercing their body and go through to the ground. Oh. Now, before that, the scholars, they mentioned that...
You could say modern day bullets.
Gee. Yeah. And, you know, they had the name of the person that they were going to strike as well. So this is, you know, like we have radar, you know, guided bullets and all that kind of stuff. So these bullets or these pebbles were hitting that person. Now, the scholars, they mentioned that Abraha, when he was telling his elephant, that when he was riding on, he was telling him to go towards Makkah. The elephant wouldn't stand up. He wouldn't walk towards Makkah. Right. When he would turn it around, it would start to walk. So here the scholars, they say that, look, even the elephant knew that Abraha, what he's doing is wrong. Allah gave so much akal to this animal. And as they say that, when a person loses the understanding of his Rabb Azza wa Jal, then he's worse than an animal.
So there's a lesson for us there as well. Gee. You know, if we see anything wrong happening in our life, you know, be it in our family, in the wedding ceremonies, with our friend circles, someone is doing wrong, you know, you need to take a firm stance.
Beshak.
You know, don't just go with the flow, you know, join there, whatever they're doing, just carry on going. You need to take a firm stance and make it clear that you're not part of that decision or that particular act.
And again, the thing is, someone has to stand up. You know, as they say, if no one's going to tell anyone off, then, you know, that filth is going to continue. So what happened was Abraha was then destroyed his army. Now Allah Azza wa Jal, this story has been mentioned in the Quran so that we can learn a lesson from this story that the might of Allah Azza wa Jal, no one can challenge. Abraha was not going to go and fight the people of Makkah. He had a challenge, he had a fight against Allah Azza wa Jal. And obviously, you know, there was no comparison. So again, we should do tawbah. When you read this verse of the Quran, this surah of the Quran, at that time we should ask ourselves, you know, look what happened to the Ashab-e-Fil. Their story has been in the Quran for us to learn a lesson from. But how much do we learn from these lessons?
You know, maybe there'll be people, they probably heard the story first time.
Gee.
The question is why? You know, we have time for other things, but we don't know what the teachings of Quran are. Especially, you know, the last 10 surah, those brothers or individuals who tend to read them chapters regularly, you know, if possible, study them, you know, and understand the meaning of those verses as well.
Yeah, sure.
You know, from Kunzul Iman, which is available in English language as well. And if you want to, if you can speak Urdu, study those chapters with Tafsir, Siratul Jinan. You know, study them chapters, understand the meanings of these particular verses, Suratul Fil, for example. And then if you read your namaz and you're remembering that whole incident as well, you make a big difference.
And it's very important that we do learn the Quran, because the Quran is a source of guidance. If you don't understand the Quran, you know, the ulama-i kiram, they've put all their lives inside this work. Yeah. You know, great scholars like Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he spent his entire life, you know, searching for this, and they've written books after books for us.
Absolutely. We only got a few minutes left, but there's another elephant story that's in my mind.
MashaAllah.
I thought I'll share that with you here. But I'll try to be brief. There's a incident where one of the great scholars, he was a student at that time, so he was a youngster.
MashaAllah.
He traveled really far. You could say possibly traveled a country mm-hmm. to study from a particular teacher. So when he reached that place, he was in a class and the teacher was giving a lecture, learning Ilm-e-Deen. And during that class, there's a lot of noise from the local community, from the neighborhood. And loads of people were gathering outside. These students, you know, being youngsters, they looked outside and they noticed, you know, there's a lot of noise. There's something different happening today. And they inquired, they found out there's elephants. Yeah, either elephants or one elephant, but there was elephants in that area that's come. And you know, that's like a rare thing for the community.
Because you don't find animals.
So all these youngsters, the students, they all ran out. They forget about the teacher, they ran out. Yeah, they ran out to see the elephant. And the teacher didn't really mind as well. So, but what happened, there was one student there, he just stayed there.
Allah.
In the class, he just stayed there, he didn't go out. He remained unconcerned. And the teacher looked at him, thought, hey, what happened here? Why did he not move? And so he asked that student, why did you not go outside to look at the elephant? You know what he replied? He said, I have not come all the way here to look out for the elephants.
Allah.
I come here to learn knowledge.
Allah. Yeah,
this shows you how important our scholars, our seniors, they give to the knowledge.
Beshak. MashaAllah. And you know, as they say, sacred knowledge is the knowledge of the deen.
SubhanAllah.
So my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, you know, this story has been mentioned in the book. MashaAllah, it's available to download free of charge. It's called Quranic Wonders. Ajaibul Quran, written by Abdul Mustafa Azmi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. A very, very beautiful book. And I want you to please download it free of charge. And then try to have this thirst to read these Quranic stories as well. Sadly, we've come to the end of our time today. Jazakallah khaira for watching. Inshallah, we'll see you next week. Take care. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right.